It's in, you can drink that in there. You're all right. Hey. All right. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning and looking forward to the day today. I think we've got a lot of good stuff here. Really some things to be a help to you. And does everybody have a booklet? I'm not sure if we had enough out. Anybody does not have one? We do have some more up here right now. Everybody has one? Good. And of course, we do have coffee cups for everyone. Has our verse on it, the 1 Corinthians 16:13 with the logo on the other side. And so we hope, you know, you can take that, take it to work, whatever, remind you who you are. And also a good witnessing tool when people see that when you're out at work, and a good way to introduce into the gospel right there. Today we're going to be looking at Joseph in relation to, you know, Joseph really is an amazing man. You can see God's sovereignty throughout his life. The last message will really focus on that aspect of it from an angle that might be new to you, might not be, in a way to help us. But we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 37. Picks up now where Joseph is 17 years old. I hope you guys will listen. I think all three of the sessions can be of, you know, really a good help in your life. All right, Genesis chapter 37 here. Let me see how much of this do I want to read. We are going to be dealing with this chapter right now, and a particular angle of this chapter is what I should say. And let me start in verse 1. I might jump around a little bit and just see how this goes. I forgot my glasses. That's all right. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the land was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about you and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? And shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto them, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And certain men found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, Joseph was. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. Now, get what they're doing. While their brother's sitting in a pit, no doubt screaming out for help, here's what they do. And they sat down to eat bread. They're going to have lunch now. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? By the way, Reuben is gone at this time. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, and now know whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you and I certainly need you. I ask your blessing upon the service today. I pray that you be glorified and honored. Lord, please control what I say and how I say it. I pray that this would be a help. I pray this would strengthen the life of the men. Lord, I beg you this time would not be wasted. And I know it is unless your Spirit works. So please, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Control what I say. Control how I say it. I pray your Word would have free course in the hearts and lives of all who are here. Please bless now, Lord. I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, Joseph's life is really, it's just an amazing life. An example of a man who finished exactly what God wanted him to do with his life. He finished it. He did exactly what his purpose was. He finished it. There were many times to Joseph, circumstantially, it certainly looked like he had no hope of finishing his purpose in life. When he was 17, he had the dreams and the visions. He knew what God wanted him to do. He certainly didn't understand how all that was going to come about, but he had an idea of what God wanted him to do with his life. And he had a desire to do just that. He wanted to serve God. That is where his heart was. He is a great example of what it really takes of finding God's will. And not only that, finishing it. Of finishing God's will and doing it. Now when we pick up our story, he's already 17 years old. It's in chapter 37. The rest of Genesis, with the exception of chapter 38, is devoted to the life of Joseph. He is given significant, the only one close to him as far as chapters and descriptiveness would be Abraham in the Bible. But Joseph just dominates the rest of this, the rest of the book of Genesis, again with the exception of chapter 38. So there's these 13 chapters here devoted to him. And his life. Joseph had, obviously he had some family difficulties like many of us have. He has one dad, there's four wives in the home, There's 12 brothers altogether, counting him. And we don't know how many daughters he had. We know he had at least 2 daughters, because in one of the verses, it's plural used for how many daughters that Jacob had. We don't know how many. We only know the name of one. And so that is the family setting right there. There's only one younger than him, and that is, of course, Benjamin. He is the firstborn of Rachel, who is the wife whom Jacob truly loved, which was, moving on, all the favoritism that was coming Joseph's way. As Dad again favored him, this led to family problems, as it always does within a family. A parent should never have a favorite child. That should not take place. And of course, that led to problems for Joseph because of the hatred his brothers had towards him. In our text, he is working with, we know who he's working with in the fields. That would be Gad, Asher, Dan, and Naphtali. Imagine how tough it would have been for Joseph working really over his brothers and being the second youngest and his brothers hating him. Growing up for Joseph would have been very difficult and very tough. The guy was not in an easy situation. It mentioned 3 times in Genesis chapter 37 that they hated him. 2 times hated. The Bible uses the word hated. The 3rd time, envied. So, no doubt, they were constantly harassing him. When he sees them doing wrong, we have where he goes and let his dad know. Now, many times I've heard sermons on it, and studying it I've been in this now, preparing for this for about 3 weeks. So the last 3 weeks in preparing for this, I do not believe at all that Joseph was a tattletale. Alright, that's how it's portrayed. I don't think that's it at all. I don't think that's what we're seeing here. That's how it's portrayed many times, but it doesn't go with what we see taking place. Alright? Let's give an example here. His dad made him that coat of many colors. Alright? If the coat had long sleeves, which very possible it did, that had great significance. Alright? There was a huge difference if his dad gave him a coat with short sleeves versus long sleeves. More than likely, based on the wording that is used and how his brothers looked at the coat had long sleeves. Because the coat had long sleeves, that meant he was in charge when he was in the field with his brothers. All right. When we read our text in Genesis chapter 37, you see the responsibility given. The word even early about him shepherding, that's the word that would be the guy who is in charge. He's only 17 years old. His brothers are married men. All right. The 17-year-old is in charge of them right now. That's not going to sit well. But you're going to notice this is a pattern in Joseph's life. He had something special from the Lord, and that was the ability to lead. Everywhere he went, it was noticed, and he was immediately put in charge. The man knew how to lead. All right? And I believe for Joseph, it was divine. This was something special that was put in his life by God, the ability to lead men. And so Joseph has this coat, and I believe part of his responsibility that he saw before God and his dad was when certain things would take place. We don't know what the event was that he let his dad know, but I believe it was significant enough where Joseph knew, I gotta let dad know. He has to know. I don't believe this is a case of a tattletale. Alright? I don't think that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Joseph who's 17, he is a man, and he's in a position of authority in the house. The coat also implied, by the way, that he would be the one receiving the double portion of the father's inheritance, which went to the firstborn, which was Reuben. But Joseph, you can see where Jacob would consider Joseph his firstborn, because he was the firstborn of Rachel. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 37, his mom is actually dead. Rachel has already passed away. That's going back to the birth of Benjamin at that time. So anyhow, Joseph has all this on him as he's in his teenage years. It would be, again, very difficult for him growing up. It was not easy in his father's house. His dad did not help matters either. Nor did it help when he has his 2 dreams. And he decides to let his brothers know about his 2 dreams. Now, I'm not going to preach on this, but there is a good point that I like to make. Be careful who you tell your dreams to. All right? Be careful who you tell your dreams to. And he lets them know. And this increased the brother's envy. I mean, obviously, both dreams, we've already read it, they dealt with him taking a place of authority even above his dad, where they're literally bowing down before him. Joseph didn't understand all of it at this time. We certainly know that it was of the Lord, but that didn't matter to the brothers. All right, that didn't matter. These are not very spiritual men, with the exception with a couple of them who have some tendencies towards spirituality at that time, that being Reuben and Judah. So anyhow, after the dreams, the group of the brothers, they're out working on the flock, and there's a lot of typology here. We're not going to get on in one of my college courses was just on Joseph and how he typified Christ. And Joseph, Jacob sends Joseph to check on his brothers. They're about 50 miles away when he sends them. So we're dealing with a significant number of days just to get there, maybe even as much as 20 days for him to get there. He could have done it in 10 days, let me think here. They traveled not that many days, 10 days, 50 miles. He could have did it in anywhere from 5 to 10 days was your window there. Anywhere from 5 to 10 days, probably closer to the 10 days at that time. But anywhere from 5 to 10 days it would have took him to get there. But Joseph goes to Shechem. Of course, the brothers would not be very popular in this town of Shechem, if you remember what happened. All right, the men there really did not care for them. And so he goes there, but they're not there. And so he's wandering around. A guy comes up, said, you know, who are you looking for? He lets him know he's one of the children of Jacob. He's looking for his brothers. And he said, yeah, I heard they were going to Dothan, which is even farther away. He has to go about another 20 miles now. He has to travel about another 20 miles to get to Dothan. And really, and there's a lot, I do want to bring up this typology here with Joseph. A lot of times there's some good imagery here between Joseph and Christ. One, the father is sending the son to go check on his brethren. All right? And the brethren are getting farther and farther away from the father, with the brothers representing Israel and obviously Joseph representing Christ and Jacob representing God the Father. The father sends the son, of course, but they reject him and want to kill him. When Joseph, of course, approached his brothers, they come up with the plot to kill him. Reuben is the one who intervenes and saves his life. However, they did cast him into a pit. And then while Reuben was gone, they decided to sell him because the brothers were again plotting. When Reuben left, they're going back to the plotting to kill him. Of course, you have Judah intervening a little bit here. They decided to sell him to the Midianites, who then sell him to Potiphar, where he's now in Egypt. He's in this house. You know the events. We're going to be looking at the events in the next message of what took place in Genesis chapter 39 when he was there, when the temptation of adultery hits him. How he ends up not only dealing with that, being falsely accused of rape, thrown into jail. We're not sure how long he spent in jail, but it was a number of years, because we're not certain how many years he was in Potiphar's house, but that was probably a few years. What we do know is when he comes out of the prison, he's 30 years old. So he's 17 when he is sold, so it's about 13 years later when he's standing in Pharaoh's presence. While he was in prison, we're going to see he was promoted. Just like in Potiphar's house, promoted overall. He gets into prison, they recognize it, he was promoted over every single prisoner. The guy had some amazing leadership capabilities that his dad recognized as a young man. His dad puts him in charge. Wherever he was, it was noticed, and the guy was put in charge. And we know the story why he's in prison. The butlers, the Pharaoh's butler and baker are thrown in, and Joseph interprets their dreams, but the butler forgets about him until that's all of the Lord. By the way, you're going to see God's hand and God's sovereignty throughout that. God is not even mentioned in Genesis chapter 37, yet God is throughout Genesis chapter 37. And of course, that amnesia was of the Lord. And then finally, 2 years later is when Pharaoh has his dream and they send for Joseph. All of a sudden, the memory is restored to the butler. And all of a sudden, you have Joseph as a 30-year-old man standing in the presence of Pharaoh. And we'll get to those events in the last message of the third message of today. So, to start off with, though, we're dealing with God's sovereignty and God's will all pretty much for the day today. Starting off with finding God's will, all right, and then watching out for those things that will take you out of God's will. Okay? Now, this statement is important for this message. If you get one thing, this is what I want you to get. You know, even in the counseling in my office, one of the there's certain themes that usually maintain throughout. One of those is God's will. What do I do? Now listen, this is important. You do not discover God's will. God's will finds you. All right? We see that perfectly demonstrated in the life of Joseph. That doesn't mean we don't have responsibility to make sure that God's will finds us, because we certainly do. But listen to me. You don't discover it. God's not up in heaven trying to hide things from you. You don't discover it. God's will find you. It'll find you. All right? When you are obeying the Word of God, God's will find you. All right? So, let me lay this out in this first message here of that premise, and using the life of Joseph to do just that. Again, God's will find you as you obey the revealed Word of God mixed with a walk of faith. Okay? God's will absolutely find your life. Two things are critical here that we see in the life of Joseph. And that is that you're obeying God's Word. All right? You're being obedient to God's Word. You're not rebelling against it. There's not portions you decide you're going to ignore. You're being obedient to the revealed Word of God, and you're walking by faith. When you combine those things, God's will find you. All right? It absolutely will. I really doubt that 2 years ago, Mitchell saw himself coming on staff here at the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage. 3 years ago, I certainly did not see myself standing in the position of the pastor of this church. Look over in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Great verse right here. Very true of the life of Joseph, as well as every single one of us in this room. And by the way, I do think these messages are being recorded for the first time. I think they've got that figured out. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord is in control. When you think back, I would imagine we could take all day here today to have different men come up here and testify when they begin to examine the events in their own life, when they were walking in obedience before God and how God directed. All right? I mean, I think back when I was in New Mexico and I got those orders to head to Korea. I absolutely wanted out of the Air Force. I was already on staff at a church. I mean, my life, as far as I thought, I was devising my own way, though. But the key was, though, I was still being obedient before the Lord, walking by faith. And so what the Lord's going to do, He's going to intervene. He's going to direct my steps. That wasn't what He had for me. Even though in my limited thinking, this is it. But God was going to direct His will in my life. All right? What I had to do was be obedient to Him and walk by faith. So when I got the assignment to Korea, I listened to a sermon once with a really bad point. I've told the story before how I heard several years earlier when I was still in the Air Force, I listened to a message and the preacher had said, if you're in the military, get out. And I mean, he was one of those strong, if I said the name, I'll just tell you, it was Jack Hiles. He had said, if you're in the military, quit letting the government tell you where to go and start letting God. And when that guy spoke, everybody thought, man, God was speaking. And I believe that. That was absolutely wrong. That was absolutely unscriptural. That was wrong. It's as if, man, if God, I know I'm sovereign, like God's in heaven, I know I'm sovereign, but man, He's in the military. Man, I hate that He's in that assignment system. I can do nothing now. Isn't that ridiculous? But because, again, as I've been preaching for weeks now, when you have bad doctrine and bad theology, you make wrong decisions. And so I was miserable. I did everything I could to get out of the Air Force. Applied for any way I could. I had one guy, back then it was before his MPF, it was CBPO still. And trying to get them to do anything to get me out of the military. But the Lord knew. I needed a year with a missionary in Korea. I was going to be in New Guinea in a few years. He was directing my steps. You don't find the will of God. You don't discover it. It finds you. It finds you. If I was 17 years old, I was telling some of this the other day. If I was 17 and God had showed me, you're going to New Guinea, I would have started trying to figure out how this was going to work. Do you know how many wrong decisions I would have made along the way? The Lord knew, listen, you cannot know this yet. You're a dummy. Just let me direct you and prepare you. He knew what pastors He wanted me under. He knew what preparation He needed in my life. And then when the time come, I knew. All right? And that's a whole other event of God's will, you know, finding you. The key is obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who can quote that for me? Roy Butler. I find that great that you are the one who quoted that verse for me. It's a good verse, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. It's good when it's in your heart. And it's a good verse. Trust in the Lord with... What's that?
The best part is just trust in the Lord with all my heart and not to the one
understand. Yeah.
Period. That's a period right there.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust by faith.
That's right. And the great thing is walking by faith, get this, it always produces joy.
Come on. That's stretching it.
Yeah. As we trust in, O God, as we trust in the Lord, and obey Him. He directs. Now you're going to get in trouble. Where the faith part comes in there is when you start to lean onto your own understanding. That's when you're leaving off faith. Let me give you some truths about God's guidance. We see this in the life of Joseph. He can put you exactly where you need to be. Brother McDonald, it's not on accident that you got your assignment to Fort Richardson to finish your career off. It's not an accident. The Lord knew exactly where you needed to be. He can arrange all, number two, He can arrange all the details years in advance. Years in advance. See, if as we see these things, I have no doubt, one, because we're saved, that lights go on, the bells go on, you can see where that's true. But it's amazing how much we fret over the will of God. Our responsibility is obedience and faith. Number three, He can open the doors that seem shut. He can open the doors that seem shut.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Spent 21 and a half years in Japan and literally Seiko and I thought we're just going to die there. You know,
yeah.
This is where God wants us, and it's not that God didn't use us. He did. But suddenly everything changed in September when I got that assignment.
Yeah.
Came here in November, and after I got here in November, got another assignment on the base there for another unit. And the wife and I, just everything's just been going so smoothly and perfectly, and now the wife's attitude, even her mother is even considering coming here, which would be great if she did.
Yeah.
But, you know, she says, look, just go.
Yeah. The Lord directs. That's where you trust Him. When those things happen, you trust Him. I mean, more than likely, you're starting to get a little bit reprobate, so the Lord had to put you somewhere else, yeah, and you had to come here. Just kidding, brother. You had to put you under an Ohio State guy.
That's okay. We love you, Pastor.
Yeah. Number four, He can remove obstacles in your way. Think of Joseph's life with the things that I'm saying. He can remove the obstacles that are in your way. Number five, He can take your choices and fit them into His plan as you serve the Lord. Okay? He can even take your choices, fitting them into His plan as you serve Him. Okay? Our responsibility is to follow Him, trust Him, walk by faith, as we see the example in Joseph. Now, let's break this down a little bit more in Joseph's life. With Joseph, here's some keys to his life and the will of God. He had a spiritual drive in him, which led him to be in the middle of the will of God. He had a spiritual drive in him. Back in Genesis chapter 37, you can see a difference with what was motivating Joseph as compared to his brothers. No, really, you would have thought in the scheme of things that it would have been Judah in this place. You would. But there was another brother whose drive towards God was much greater. And that was Joseph. And Jacob dwelt... Well, let me jump down to verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And it goes to the wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. And that's what I want to focus on here. That reveals a lot of things to us. All right. Usually, again, I really believe we're taking this the wrong way when we just assume there's nothing from Genesis 37 on that ever tells us that what he did here was inappropriate. Nothing. Not a single indication of it. But it does reveal to us a difference between him and his brothers. It reveals to us that he was operating on another level. He was motivated by something different. His brothers did not have, obviously whatever evil was taking place, didn't have a problem with it. Guess who did? Joseph. He wasn't taking part in it. He wasn't taking part in it. Again, you can see this difference between his brothers, the spiritual drive that he had. And by the way, just because you're in church doesn't mean that you have spiritual drive for your life. All right? And so the question is, what is it? Listen, and be honest with yourself. It is so easy to deceive yourself. What is it that drives you? And until you start to get honest with your own heart and life, you can never deal with where you're really at in life. What is it that drives you? What is your meat? As Jesus put it, my meat is to do the will of the Father. What is it that really drives you? For Joseph, this absolutely was the Lord. He did not as well, now listen to this, what we also learned from that simple statement is he was not conforming to the world. He was not conforming to the world. He's with his brethren Dan, Asher, Gad, and Naphtali. The easy thing would have been to be like his older brothers, to try and gain some acceptance from them. That's the easy road. To try and conform with them. But he did not do that. I have no doubt that Joseph felt tremendous pressure being 17 years old, in charge, and just wanting to conform. I can think of many times when I just wish I don't have to deal with this. It would just be easier if I don't have to deal with this. I believe Joseph had that pressure. But he honored God above conforming. Even when he knew, if I do this, my brothers are going to hate me even more. I can think back to being 17 in a public high school and the temptation to conform. When I'm trying to serve God. I can't think of how many nights being at home in my bed and just wanting not to live the Christian life. Of how much easier it would be heading to school and not doing it. The temptation was real to conform. It was true even when I was a teenager in my youth group. When I began to see the youth group heading a different direction. We had Hollywood movie nights with the youth group. That was a Hollywood, that's where the youth pastor would take us. To Hollywood, we would have Hollywood movie nights at theaters. And I decided not to go. And of course, the mocking, you just think you're better, wasn't it at all. It's the last thing I wanted to hear. Really, to be honest, I just wanted to go and conform. I didn't want the battle. Literally, brought into the pastor's office, the pastor telling me, you need to go to these. And saying, I'm not. I wanted to say, yes, I'll go. So Joseph had a spiritual drive about him. It was leading him not to conform to the evils of the world that was behind him, that was around him. This is key of how the will of God found him. All right? He also avoided the temptation to conceal. All right? When he went and told his father. Again, I don't think he was a tattletale. I think he was a steward of what his father had given him to do. That's what he was doing. He was a steward with what his father had given him to do. And I have no doubt he was tempted to conceal whatever matter was taking place, but he knew he was driven by another principle. He had a responsibility before his dad. We also see that he obeyed his God-given authority. He obeyed his God-given authority. You're not going to find the will of God. It's not going to find you. Let me stay consistent here. When you're not obeying God-given authority. We also see, we're going to get into that next hour, he avoided sexual temptation. And we're going to get into that in the next hour. Now, we also see number two, is we talked about his obedience and everything. We see Joseph was a man who walked by faith in God. Now, one of the greatest examples of this, of what we don't have said about him in 37 through 50, about his faith. God appeared unto Abraham. God appeared unto Isaac. God appeared unto Jacob. He never appeared to Joseph. He never appeared to Joseph. And yet his character pretty much exceeds them all. What it shows me is this guy walked by faith. This guy walked by faith. He had the key elements down for God to say, you know what? I got your path. I got this. The man walked by faith. You will not find, listen to this, you're not going to find God's will apart from operating by faith. It won't happen. If you at all think that I, for a second, thought I was the right man to head to Papua New Guinea in the jungle, absolutely not. Absolutely. See, those who know me best from the years past are laughing the most. Because I have no doubt everybody was thinking, really? Really? He really is a city guy. And yet the Lord decided, no, it's the jungle. And it had to come to a point when I knew the Lord was directing them that, when I had to put aside leaning unto my own understanding. Say, all right, Lord, you must be in this. You're not going to find God's will apart from operating by faith. All right. And one of the greatest reasons people leave the will of God, okay, is because they stop walking by faith. They stop walking by faith and start to lean under their own understanding. Now, let me get finished up. We got to get through. What time is it right now? Yeah, I really got to get going here. Hindrances, I'm going to finish up my last section point for this message is this. Hindrances to the will of God. And the other two messages, I'm going to be focusing on the life of Joseph and avoiding two things that do take people out of it. Okay? So first, I want you to notice what did not hinder Joseph from the will of God, because it's two things that we think commonly do. And Joseph is proof they do not. Number one is your background. Your background does not hinder you from the will of God. Joseph came from an incredibly dysfunctional family. He had a very tough background. His family life was difficult. He was abused by his brothers. He was, if anybody wanted to claim victim status through the events in his life, it was Joseph. He's falsely accused. He is, he's made a slave. His brothers want to kill him. He's in prison for no crime, for a crime he never committed. And listen, the world, and boy, it's great at this. We even have church counseling philosophies designed towards this, to make you out to be the victim in all that's happened to you. Joseph could have dove right into that. Poor, poor me. If people only knew and understood. And he could have lived out the life of a victim. Yeah. He could have lived out the life of a victim playing the poor me card. He never did. The world wants to make you out your life and all that you go through and the rough patches as you're a victim. It's all a result of your background. Victims begin to live the life of the victim. That becomes their purpose. While you're doing that, by the way, what you're missing out on is the will of God. You're missing out on the will of God while you're playing the victim. I assure you, we all have tough stories and difficult things that we have went through. Quit living in that realm and realize there's a sovereign God who's in control that directs your steps. Number two, it does not hinder you from the will of God, and that is your enemies. That is your enemies. Joseph's brothers became his enemies. They themselves determined that he was not going to fulfill God's will. Let's see what comes of his dreams now. Let's see what comes of his dreams now. They couldn't stop it. I mean, again, God was not up in heaven. Man, why do they have to go and get Levi mad? His enemies couldn't stop it. Now, what's key to this one, though, let me, just like with a victim, you can get playing with it. It's how you respond to your enemies. Okay? And as long as you're staying obedient, walking by faith, you'll respond right. All right? You'll respond right. So even his enemies could not hinder him from the will of God. Now, things that do hinder you from the will of God. Okay? Number one is sin. It is sin. I've only got one example, but we can all think of probably many in the Bible. One being Moses striking the rock. You realize that Moses missed out on the will of God for his life during his last years. He did not get to bring them into the promised land. That was the will of God for his life. But he hit that rock. He hit that rock. Number two, lack of faith. I've been stressing this all along. Lack of faith. Remember, the Bible says the just shall walk by faith. Faith. A lack of faith certainly becomes a hindrance to the will of God, because as you're fulfilling the will of God, you've got to walk by faith. You've got to walk by faith. Number three, this one's really important. Please don't miss this. Okay? Not being ready. Not being ready. And get this, Joseph's in prison. He's 30 years old. He's been several years in prison. Again, we don't know how long. It was more than 2 years, probably somewhere in 5 to 7 years. We're not sure. So he's in prison. The guy could get bitter over anything. You know, what's going on? If anybody can think of a circumstance to get, but he knew God was in control. The day comes, he's standing before Pharaoh. No doubt, it's the realization's hitting him. Everything's coming to play. The guy's not a stupid man. I mean, everything's hitting him. I know he's going back all the events of his life, and he's like, I get it. I see why all this happened. But get this. He interprets the dreams. He doesn't stop there. He was ready. Pharaoh didn't ask what we should do. Joseph was ready with a plan. He said, here's what we're going to do, Pharaoh. You need to have somebody to lead this. You better start stockpiling all the food right now. 7 years. I mean, all this. Everybody's just standing there. Remember, he could have had. If Joseph just interpreted the dreams, he does not become prime minister. Do you understand that? He's awarded. He's given a nice little medal, and he's sent on his way with a pardon from prison. If he just interprets the dreams, what he saw was the will of God revealed right before him. And he didn't blink. He told Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. And Pharaoh's like, does anybody know, man, anybody like this at all? Know what he recognized? Again, that leadership ability that Joseph had that was God-given. And Pharaoh said, you're the man. He was ready when the opportunity hit. He didn't blink. He didn't hit there. I mean, he could have stopped and said, I'm before Pharaoh. You know, maybe I should just let him ask me. If he asks me, I'll tell him the plan. He was ready. He was ready. Again, all of these things, when you're not ready, a lack of faith and sin, will hinder the will of God for your life. Because now God has to respond to you in a different way and direction. Okay? All right. We're going to close there. We're going to pick up with Genesis chapter 39 in the next session. But now, it's time to eat. All right? So let's go ahead and we will pray and ask God's blessing on the food. Ladies, are we all ready?